Hello and welcome to the FTS Bet Slip and the latest episode of trying to make you all better bettors, better traders, starting from the sort of setup approach, you know, onwards to placing trades. So we're now up to the seventh episode. As always, if you haven't listened to the first six, I do suggest that you go right back to the beginning. Each episode is available as a podcast, and then there is a written blog post on ftsincome.co.uk. Go to FTS blog, and they're all titled blog and pod. And I think the reading part also is key. There's some graphics in the posts, just to help people cement things in a little bit further. So last time I talked about trading styles. I hope you enjoyed that one. As always, if you do enjoy these blogs and pods, if you could leave reviews on your podcast, preferred podcast listener, if you could comment on Twitter, Telegram, if you could comment on the website, under each written blog pod there is a you have the ability to add comments, ask questions. If you ask questions there, I can answer them. Everybody can see it because a lot of people have similar questions. If you want to email in with any feedback, obviously it just helps me, as I say. One, obviously if you leave reviews and things, that helps more people see it for us, makes it worthwhile. But it also, the feedback, that it helps me tailor things forward for bits that people maybe don't want to understand, want more help with. And basically make it seem like I'm not talking to myself constantly, which it does get to feel like at times. So I touched on the trading styles last time. We're going to look more now about you actually sitting down, choosing your trading style. This episode is keyed really round to day-to-day trading as opposed to fixed odds betting. I will move and do some sections on fixed odds betting. But this, whilst some of this does apply to that, this really is the sort of people, I think a lot of people, particularly in football, like to sit down and trade daily as the matches are on, but just go about it all wrong, purely because of all the things we've talked about before, expectation, preparation and things like that. So I finished off the last episode with you asking some questions. And I think one of the big things, particularly with trading, is that you could literally do something every day differently for a year and still not exhaust what is possible. You know, particularly if we include other sports, day one you could do, you know, pre-race trading. We've just got involved with that with Steve Williamson. You could then think, that's not for me on day one. Then day two you go to in-play race trading, perhaps speak to Andy Richmond, do a bit of that. Then you decide on day three that racing's not for you, and you go to, oh, Ian talked about laying half time correct scores, I'll do that. That, have a couple of losers. Day four you go and I'll do the back over 1.5 goals on 20 minutes onwards. Oh, didn't get much action there, the goals went in too soon. I'll do late goals if team name has an A in it on day five. Day six, I'm going to do over 2.5 goals if six shots on target. Day seven, second half goals from 70 minutes. Day eight, back home teams and lay them back if they take the lead. Day nine, lay horses playing, back to horses, lay horses playing up at the start, back at a bigger price. Day 10, all my mate did well at T20. He said, that's volatile, I'll give that a go today. Day 11, oh, Ian does some golf. I'll lay the first round lead. I think he said they rarely win. I could easily fill 365 days and more. I could keep going. And what I've just described, whilst obviously 11 days isn't an accurate time scale, would be ridiculous. I mean, it may not be, but there's probably somebody who's done stuff like that. It is exactly the journey many of you will have gone on, just jumping around from thing to thing without any of the aspects we've talked about before. I personally operate around 15 to 20 different methods of trading football. And whenever I mention one, I know that people run off and then try and apply it themselves with only half the knowledge. They then have a few losers and it's on to something else. And the problem with all this approach is, of course, that a little knowledge of anything, a little, you know, in anything in life, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. But in trading betting, we get into a pattern of betting something we believe is going to be profitable, we believe we could do easily. And that's one of the keys, that far too many people think this is a way to easy, quick profits. People then see trends that aren't there because they're looking so short term, they're not giving anything any time, and they end up in this cycle of lose, change what we do, lose, change what we do, lose, change what we do. So whilst I may trade in 15 to 20 diverse ways across numerous markets, the one thing that they all have in common is my attitude to risk is pretty much the same. I personally prefer to win more on a winning trade than I lose on a losing trade. So I set myself up to have a minimum risk reward, 95% of the time, of 1-1. That's an absolute minimum. I drip stakes in to take advantage then of price increases or decreases as time decays. So, you know, I like to sit and back, to sit and back three times 1.4 shots in play and then see one loser wipe out all any gains. So let's say, for example, backing over 1.5 goals, I don't want to get back at 1.35, 1.41, 1.42. I might have three winners and I've won 1.1x points, but then the next game I lose and I basically wiped out all or most of any gains. There's absolutely nothing wrong with backing 1.4 shots in play. If you feel that you know you have an edge, and that is for you. It's not for me, and that's the key to all this. It doesn't suit my trading style. It is purely a personal choice. And as I've said in the last episode, we are all different with different various personality traits and different lengths of a fuse. You know, it's these little triggers in life. What's going to piss you off? What's going to make you give up? What's going to, you know, get you? And particularly as you get older, those sort of things change over time. But in my humble opinion, it is really vital to fit your betting trading activity to that personality rather than try and do something that eventually is going to fold like a tumbling building because it just doesn't suit you. And I think if you do that, you'll feel a lot more comfortable mentally, which then will equip you better. If you feel better mentally, if you feel in control of what you're doing and you understand why you're doing it and you know it suits you, it equips you better to cope with the swings and the variance. You know, luck, bad luck that this game brings along the way, it cannot be avoided and you'll be able to cope with it better. Losing runs will come, what you deem unlucky losses will arrive, and mentally coping though with those becomes a hugely decisive factor in your success. I sum it all up, if you're trading in an area that mentally suits you, you have far more chance of managing the stress that variance brings, and there are stressful times. You know, too many traders don't trade to suit them. They're trading, as I've said, like defying goals, not profits, and they repeat the same mistakes day in, day out. While I will always believe more people should win at this game than they do, and there are many ways to win, there are still many junk trading ideas. There are things that people do that just simply do not work, in my opinion, again. And it's not my style these days to publicly slate methods. I've had goes doing that. If people are happy doing what they do, carry on. And I happily discuss stuff like this in individual chats with people, but I would implore everyone to look at what they do. You know, sort of one of the questions last week, look at what you do now. Put your ego aside, you know, and your biases, and it's a difficult thing to do, but genuinely ask yourself if what you're doing is working, is it likely work for you, and this idea of looking for winners as opposed to looking for profit is just an ever-decreasing circle. So when we get to factors in that trading style, you know, another factor in choosing a trading style is the money you have available and your financial commitment. And I mentioned again last week the ability to scale. Your trading setup will require more or less financial commitment, depending on what that setup is. We have just launched, as I say, one of Steve Williamson's pre-race trading course. One of the attractions for me to Steve is not only does he do it, so I know he's actually sitting with skin in the game and does it, but Steve isn't a Mad claims of huge profits. Steve talks that you can generate, up to £100 a day from just a sort of £400-£500 bank. Now, it sounds easy. Of course, you've got to master all the skills involved, and obviously bigger meetings, I imagine, will be able to scale you up. But it's a level that anybody can start up. And then you pick your moments, and Steve talks about volumes, where you can play a bit bigger. So you can scale it. There's elements there, but you've got to be able to identify them. That's a skill. You know, trading 1.5 goals can be scaled up in the Premier League. I'm not sure the same could be said in Venezuela League One. I don't bet in that league, but, you know, all other far-flung leagues but that people trade in. But getting money matched does not always mean that the leagues trade well. If I want to back over 1.5 goals in Venezuela at odds of 2.0 and there's absolutely nothing in the market, but I want to have £500 on, I will get it matched eventually. If I put £500 in 2.0, it will go, it will get matched. But it will get matched long after any value has gone, and I think that's a real key thing that people don't understand. Every price will get matched if you leave money sitting there, but it will usually get matched long after any value in a weak market has gone. And if people are putting money up and others can see that it's sat there waiting, they will make you wait longer to match it. But every price will get matched if you leave money sitting there. The fact then that you may go on and win doesn't make you right, and the likelihood is that there is no edge, and over time you will get eaten up, and that falls into understanding markets, and all the factors that we do start to entwine. The more we approach this seriously, the more knowledge we look to garner, and we'll do some on understanding markets. Strike rates, also a key factor in your trading setup choice. So if, for example, if you choose to trade over 1.5 goals, you will likely have a better strike rate than trading over 3.5 goals. If you want to trade second half goals from 60 minutes, you will likely have a better strike rate than trading them from 80 minutes. And in the last episode, in the written version, I included a strike rate table and estimated longest losing runs based on those strike rates. It's all it's key for is your mental approach and to prepare for potential points of failure. This is a phrase I use a lot. What is a potential point of failure for you? What is going to see you actualize losses, go off and change it and do something else and actually not sit? And if we know and understand our method can have 8 losers on a trot, if we know that from the outset, before we've placed a bet, we know going in, this could have 7, 8, 9 losers on the trot, you're a lot less likely to give up after 4. Whilst we're not enjoying the 4 losers, we know it can happen before we've dived in. So we can then use that sort of mentality to plot potential worst drawdowns. So let's assume that, you know, we're betting around about a 50% strike rate and we have an estimated longest losing run of 8. It can happen. We should expect it to happen. We pretty much know it's going to happen. But it could happen. Then you could have a winner, and it could happen again. So now you've had 17 bets and 16 losers. And you're maybe thinking, oh, that's impossible, but that is what can happen. You could have a winner. It's 8 losers, winner, 8 losers, winner, and then it could happen again. Yes, it is unlikely. It is unlikely, but it can happen. So in effect, in that scenario, you'd end up with 24 losers in 26 trades. Now, you would be saying to yourself, oh, it's rubbish, it doesn't work. Anything can happen, and whilst we cannot predict anything, and if we understand that, we can then with some logic say, I would think that would be as bad as it could get, so I'd need to absorb a 20 plus point loss. So if we set our bank up to manage that, again, we're less likely to give up. I am very much a stay in the game trader. The reason I've been around so long, the reason I'm still sitting here day in, day out doing it, is because I've always kept myself in the game. So I prefer to work out worst case scenarios before I start, double them, maybe even triple them, and then I have a bank, you know, and the phrase I use many times over the years is bomb proof from that point. A 7-8 losing run is highly likely at odds around 2.0. If your method then takes on bigger prices, lower strike rate, then you will experience longer losing runs. There is absolutely no way of avoiding it, no matter what anybody on Twitter or Facebook or whatever chat room you're in tells you. So it's a really key element of, before we start, understanding what is possible and setting a bank up to protect this point of failure. Volume of bets trades is keys. You know, some people find systems, you know, they work it all out, profitable, but only ends up 2 bets a month. Would that suit you? It wouldn't suit me. Other traders are at it all day, every day. Again, that's not for me. So you've got to get the right balance of volume and hopefully then the right reward for your time. You know, sitting there all day, every day and then showing nothing, I'm sure must be disheartening. Sitting there and not having a bet, which then means you may go looking for bets outside your plan, that will always be destructive as well. So when we look back at the previous episodes, we start to tie all this in with your expectation, your preparation, the ability to preempt factors such as estimated longest losing runs in our setup, which may affect us emotionally, the emotional objectives and things further down the line. We've not even placed a bet. We've not even talked of placing bets. To me, doesn't this all seem much better than diving straight in, doing your brains, changing tack and repeating the same mistakes all over again? My personal betting trading setup is two-pronged. I have a portfolio of fixed odds bets that I've built up over 15 years, and I let them run day in, day out. I rarely check results. I know people don't believe that, but I do rarely check results. Not like what I see from FTS members on a match-by-match, minute-by-minute basis. Once the bets are on, I can't control the outcome. I have no say in it whatsoever. And I'll feature this in another episode. I treat them purely as long-term investments. I have people I've bet for. I've not checked results for 2-3 months. I genuinely have no idea what the results are standing. I'll catch up with them during the World Cup and see where we're at. I may be pleasantly surprised, or we may be on a downturn. I truly have no clue, and I don't really have any interest, because I enter those partnerships not to judge that person on the next month's results, but because over time they've shown me effort, commitment, work ethic, and I expect that to pay out over 4 or 5 years. So it's absolutely no good me looking for a month and going, oh, sorry, look, mate, you're losing, you know, you've lost. It makes there. If I believe it's going to work, which I've done, you know, spoken to them, gone through it, I then believe it's going to work. It's, for me, it's just like investing in a startup business. You know, I'm sure angel investors do not expect month one of any business they invest to get their money back and make a profit. So sitting watching it, all that would do would drive you bananas. You know, trading for me is a day-to-day activity, as I've stated. I like personally to trade around odds of 2 or better, so the one-to-one risk reward. I can do this in many ways. You know, in later episodes, I'll get into the mechanics and model end selection. But I'm talking about developing a trading style. And one of the first parts of that for me is identifying what price I, or in your case, you want to work at. Even money or better on the exchanges has always mentally suited me better. So I like to trade first half goals. If I trade find value in a first half goal market, I like to wait until the price gets to 2.0 or better. I used to lay the draw in the full-time market, sometimes taking on price up to 6-7. I now have fixed odds methods that do that. So they just go and I don't pay any attention to it and accept that occasionally you're going to get kicked in the guts. But trading now, I tend to do my lay the draw in the half-time match odds market. So I can lay at prices less than 2, lay the draw less than 2. In essence, you're back in the other 2 outcomes, home and away, at greater than 2. And I can get out after a goal if one of the teams scores. It's less risk and it suits my mentality. If I like a game for over 1.5 goals, I tend to wait again, get in 20 minutes, I'll, you know, whatever price it's reached, drip in at 1.7, 1.8. I add the drips as the price increases so I can average around 2 or more. You know, of course, if I've got the first drip in at 1.8 and a goal goes in, then it's fine. You know, that's what it is. It's average out over time. In second half trades, I may wait until 60 minutes onwards, and then I'll back goals in the market. Quite often, I'll back 2 goals ahead. So if it's 1-0, I'll back over 2.5 at odds maybe 3+. Then I can trade that on a goal. I can back 2 ahead at half time. Again, it would, for me, it would need to be greater than 2.0 and trade goals that way. Late goals on 80 minutes, I'll tend to trade at odds of 2.0+. I've mentioned several approaches there that I take, but the theme in my style is the same. I've got a consistency, and I think all profitable people have consistency. It is consistent. Everything is looking at, I want to trade that market, I want to do that, but I want to get in at that price. And it is that consistency that sees me win. It means that I have many games where I'm sat waiting and goals go in, meaning no trade, which is fine. And remember, if we're not in, we are not losing. Over time, I know plenty of opportunities will fall my way. I also know I can expect a longest losing run of 8 upwards. It happens. I know it can happen and I can ride through it. One method I'm currently trading right now, had a loser the other night. That was its 10th on the spin. So it's I'm on a longest losing run of 10. It will end. It always does. Losing traders or those unsure tend to focus on losers, giving them far more credence than the winners. I have constants. Simple as that. A trade around price of 2.0 or greater, or lay at odds of 2.0 or less. I always drip in, despite what people tell you. Goals follow a random dispersion. Not every goal is scored. Let's say I'm doing 1.5, 20 minutes. Not every goal is scored on 20 minutes. I have games where I win less on earlier goals, but I cop the lot on a late goal. I'm going to get every loser anyway, so I'm always going to have losers. It's the later goals going in that enable me to maximise profits, maximise my edge. I look at ways I can apply my chosen trading style and price entry to a market. I then understand how that market moves before I start betting. You know, we'll get into understanding markets and what will happen on goals, so I can determine my potential profit and loss, where the problems may be. And then I can model. I've got models that run on games. I model the games. The selections that come out of that models will then be chosen to suit that trading style, which is obviously a whole other skill, which we will get to. So I ended last time with a list of questions you'd ask yourself. Now you can go and home in on the answers you gave. And my starting point would really be what I discussed we ran an FTS summer school in 2021, where I posted selections for 100 days. The sole method of trying to get people to do the same thing for 100 days, not going back to what I said at the start of this episode. So use the answers to your questions last week to choose one market. Think about the one method you'd like to operate in that market, how you're actually going to trade it, and hopefully there in what I've listed I may have given you some ideas. Think about what losing run you could expect. Think about how you're going to trade it, and one of the questions will be, will you hedge for green, will you scratch the trade and leave the profit on one outcome? I hear and see things all the time like, no use for trading green, you're not maximizing profits. Forget that. Most people aren't making profits. We can look at that and being braver down the line, and our attitude to risk being more to maximize money. What you've got to do to start is do what will get you in the right place mentally. The first and only goal should be convincing yourself you can win. What others think of what you do is irrelevant. If greening up is what makes you happy, green up. If over a year we look at it and it costs us 10%, so what? Who cares if it suits you mentally? 10%, giving up 10% for no mental anguish, I'll tell you, is lovely. Process, process, process every time over money, money, money. I am a happy, comfortable, profitable trader, and I could not give a jot what other people do. And the big question is this for you guys. Forget everything you read and forget the chat rooms, forget what all the numpties on the internet tell you about how great they are. What would yours, if you closed your eyes, what would your perfect trading life look like? Sport, markets, time-wise, strike rate, money involved, profitability. Get a big piece of paper, draw it out, visualize it. Imagine your perfect trading life, because if we can create that visualization, create that in our heads, then we can build it, then we can implement it, rather than this diving headlong like a flipping headless chicken into method after method with no planning. So I'm going to leave it there, and we'll move on to this. We've got lots of topics to cover. We've got money management, as I say, modelling, all these different approaches that we've got to look at. But it all starts with, what does your perfect trading life, what do you want it to look like? Which sport do you want to be involved in? I don't trade. I know two of, well, three of the finest horse race traders out there. Two of them I know quite well. Other one I've done podcasts with. I don't trade horses. I have absolutely no interest in it whatsoever. It's not for me. I wish them all the best, and I love to hear them telling me they've won X, Y, Z. It is not for me. I do not want to sit day in, day out looking at horse race markets. It doesn't interest me. But people think, oh, Ewin's doing that, I'm going to dive in and have a go at that, and I'll do that. As if it's just easy. All these guys have got one thing in common. One, it's taken them time to get to where they are, and two, they've got a process and consistency to what they do. And until you get that, it doesn't matter what you do. You are not going to make a success of it. So the big question, as I say, is what do you want now your perfect trading life to look like in amongst all your other personal ambitions and this, that and the other? Right, I'll be back with another episode shortly.